Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is especially the gospel lesson. Verse 12 and 13. And immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. And so Jesus is our champion who stands for us facing temptation. The sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation. And then from our catechism, what does this mean? God certainly tempts no one, but we pray in this petition that God would guard and protect us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh may not mislead or seduce us into false belief, despair, and other great sin and shame. And though we are assailed by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and keep the victory. Yeah, temptation happens. Temptation happens when the visible rewards of being a Christian and having a relationship with God are set aside for a while so that we have only the words and promises of God to rely on. There are times when the feelings of joy at being a Christian just are not there. When God hides his goodness for a little while, so that, once again, there will be nothing else to go on but what he has said and promised, so that we will need to trust and hold on to those promises. Temptation, as we experience it, is a result of sin. Because Adam and Eve fell into sin at the first temptation, we seem incapable of not falling for all kinds of things. Have you noticed? Have you noticed in the world? Have you noticed in your life? Have you noticed in your own soul? Temptation in the path of walking with God is somewhat changed and different. For those who follow Jesus, it is a testing. And there is a different purpose to undergoing these things. Its purpose is to provide an exercise for faith, which, to wrap that around to the beginning once again, faith is believing the words and promises of God. So, to say it in terms of those who undergo physical training and bodybuilding, it is like isolating the faith muscle. Everything else set aside, and only that doing the workout. Believing the words and promises of God, no matter what. While we are in the middle of a spiritual battle, which is the entire history of the world, the battle within the soul, that battle is fought in the whole matter of the devil trying to undermine simple trust in God's promises, simple faith in his word, that his word is true and his word is good and His word is our good. The devil tries to get in the way and drive a wedge between us and God in order to, among other things, to rob us of the ability to pray, Father. It was the will of God to save us through the weakness and foolishness of the cross, where Adam and Eve fell into sin and were not strong enough, back in the garden. Jesus steps in and stands firm and succeeds. Where? Out in the wilderness, fasting for 40 days. Forty days of fasting will make you weak. Even with Jesus, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy. He reenacts the scene in the Garden of Eden where our first parents were surrounded by food and tempted by the fruit. But it has a different conclusion. It is part of God bringing heaven and earth back together, calling the creation back to what it was supposed to be. And I'm reading this last week, and notice the sequence. At Jesus' baptism, he sees the heavens torn apart. The same word used there is on Good Friday of the curtain in the temple. Torn apart. The curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the world around. The heavens torn asunder. What separated God from man. And then verses 11 and 12. Frankly, had never noticed this before. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. So tightly together, so closely set. "You're my son, I love you. Now go out in the desert and don't eat anything for 40 days. It's astonishing. And then verse 13, he was with the wild animals. Heaven and earth coming back together. The angels ministering to him. Heaven and earth coming together. You could say Jesus was beginning to rebuild the Garden of Eden. In the garden, the question came once, has God said? In the wilderness, it came three times. God has said, God has said, God has said. And it is answered with Scripture three times. Man shall not live on bread alone. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus is out there in the wilderness being tempted and tested and having his faith exercised through hunger and the fear of the cross. And having heaven closed so that he cannot prompt or force his Father's hand, and learning to say, Father, simply on the basis of the words and promises of God. As I teach confirmation, how many years has it been? We talk about Jesus as God and man. And that, yes, Jesus really was being tempted because he was a human being. He's out there in our place. He's doing all of this for us. Yes, he could have chased off the devil with one word right at the beginning and not bothered to listen to the remainder of the temptation. But he was out there 40 days being tempted. This is part of the deal of being born for us, coming into this flesh to redeem this flesh, this being human and facing the weaknesses that we have to face, and facing the temptations that we have to face. The strength of God is what he does to make us strong. That's Luther's formula. What he does to make us strong. Jesus bears our weakness and carries our weaknesses to the cross. The holiness of God is what he does to make us holy. And there he was, in the words that he said to John the Baptist, filling up righteousness, filling up your righteousness. And where Adam and Eve fell into sin and were not strong enough, Jesus stands firm and succeeds. And this is the other part of the sweet gospel message. The part we normally talk about is Jesus washes away our sins. The other part is he fills up our righteousness. He is our holiness. He carries us along in his own holiness so that we have something to wear on the day of judgment. And that day when we stand before the throne of God and the one who sees everything looks all the way into our souls. And on that day, to be clothed in the holiness of Jesus. How sweet that will be. There he is, your human brother, who also happens to be God. There he is out there in the wilderness winning the victory over the devil and then coming back from those 40 days to begin to proclaim, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. He is our champion. And we need a champion, don't we? Day after day, we are not that good. Day after day, we may fall. Day after day, we have a Savior who stood against the temptation, who took the failures into his own flesh, who carried us in his body on the tree, that's how Paul says it, carried us through that we might be brought into eternal life. Champion, with might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected, but for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. It is the will of God to save us through the weakness and foolishness of the cross. Who would have thought it? You God becoming weak, falling under the burden of the cross that he carried, God becoming foolish, the righteous one dying for the unrighteous. Such foolishness, but such wondrous foolishness. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. And there he is, our champion. In Jesus' name, amen.